What a privilege to have eternal life. Go to Romans chapter 12. This weekend, we're going to be looking at how to renew the mind. I don't know if any of you have ever needed assistance in that area, but it's an area that I think that all of us want to practice more in our lives so that we can see God's word live in our lives. And in Romans chapter 12, you know, that Bob Chatton does everything. He made that. That guy's unbelievable. And Diane and I got this on our honeymoon, and where were we? Aruba. Yeah, I knew that. Right, Aruba. Romans 12, okay. Verse 2. It says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Most of us have read this verse many times in our lives, and we'll just go over it again real briefly. It says, be not conformed. The word conformed basically means not to be fashioned. The world so many times sets the tone as to what we're supposed to do, and many times we fall for that. We get fashioned by the schemes of this world, sometimes without even knowing we are. And here it says, be not conformed, be not fashioned. Don't be fashioned to what? Hello? Who's the God of this world? Okay, so can you see why it isn't a good idea to be fashioned to what?
World.
Right. So, that's clear. We're not to be fashioned by this world, but be transformed. And the word transformed, as many of you know, is the word to transfigure or to change. That's a good definition. To change. How about that? Just to change, to be transfigured, kind of like a cocoon that turns into one of these beautiful butterflies. Cocoons are kind of ugly, you know, they're kind of nasty looking. But boy, when you see a butterfly like that, it's just like, wow, did you see that butterfly? Did you see it? You know, what are those big butterflies that come around our houses once in a while? Monarchs, yeah. Every so often, me and Diane will see a monarch. See the monarch. They're pretty. Big yellow ones and big, what other color, Curly? Orange, yeah. Mm-hmm. I pay close attention. Be not fashioned to this world, but be ye transfigured or changed like a cocoon into a butterfly. So instead of being fashioned, God's word exhorts us to change. That's all. Change. To what? And that's a good question. That we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. Your mind. Not mine. No. That ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. The word prove means to put to the test. God wants us to put his word to the test. That good, and the word good means worthy of all acceptation. It's worthy of all acceptation. Acceptable means well-pleasing. God wants us to put to the test that which is worthy of all acceptation. And the word acceptable means to be well-pleasing. And the word perfect means complete, full, nothing missing. And that's how God describes what his will is. That perfect, nothing missing, nothing wanting, full, perfect, complete will of God. What's the greatest secret in the world today? Or the Word of God is? Yeah. The Bible is the revealed Word and will of God. It's the greatest secret. And God's Word here in chapter 12, verse 2, exhorts us as believers to not be fashioned to this world, but to change. How? By proving what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Put to the test. That's what God wants us to do. That's what the renewed mind is. It's a transfer of being fashioned by the world to putting on the things that are true, which is God's Word, which is perfect. Nothing missing. That's what we're going to be looking at this weekend. We're going to cover how to renew the mind. And the things that we're going to cover are studying the Word rather than other materials, number one. Studying the Word rather than other materials. I know Greg Genovese has been doing that. What week are you on? 10 weeks in the Word, no other outside reading materials. I'll bet you he's had a good 10 weeks. Bet you a buck on that. I'll bet you more than that. If betting was right, I'd bet everything. But if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. Studying the Word rather than outside materials, other materials. Number two, we're going to be looking at controlling our thoughts to recognize our position in Christ as a son. Controlling our thoughts to recognize our position in Christ as a son. Certainly that would be important to know who we are and what we have. Number three, practicing the presence of God. Practicing the presence of God. And number four, living love, which you guys excel at and can only get, you could get better at it, but you are good at it. You ever hear a teaching that's doctrine, reproof, and correction, which the Word is, and you're sitting there and the person's teaching, you're going, I don't do that. I'm not, no. Oh, there's one, I do that. You know, it's like, wow, I got one in there. Oh, no? Like the movie, What About Bob? I've got it. I've had it. I feel like I might get it. You know, God's Word, boy. Studying it more than other materials is what I'd like to share with you tonight. Take your Bibles and go to Proverbs 2. Psalms, Proverbs. There's so many things in the Word of God that are written so plainly about this subject, the Word of God. In chapter 2 of Proverbs, in verse 1 of chapter 2, it says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. So there's a couple things in there. Receiving God's words and hiding his commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, boy, crying after God, that's a great study in the Word of God. If thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her, boy, as silver, boy, what the world won't do for money, right? Here it's talking about seeking her as silver, seeking God, seeking the knowledge of God, seeking the understanding of God, like a pirate would. I don't know, did they search for silver? They just stole it, I don't know. But we're supposed to search for hid treasures, it says. Then, after that, after you cry unto God, after you, you know, receive God's word, hide it in our hearts, then shalt thou understand the respect of God, the fear of God, the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. Our attitude towards God's word determines a lot in our lives, boy. How we approach it. How we approach it. Not just as a common book, but as it is in truth, the word of life. Our attitude towards God's word determines our spirituality. Not on the inside, but what we manifest. And you know it. Our best days are days when the word of God is hid in our hearts. James 1:21 I'd like you to go to also. And that's how we receive God's word. Verse 21 of James 1 says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness." And here it is. "Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul." The word "save" means to make whole. Receiving God's word with meekness makes whole our soul. And that's a good thing. That's what gets rid of all the junk. God's word. I'll quote 2 Timothy 2:15. You want to do it with me? Okay, on the count of three. One, two, three. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing
the word of truth."
Good. That's it. Study God's word. More than outside other stuff. And we show ourselves approved unto God by rightly dividing his word. And that's why we never need to be ashamed standing on God's word rightly divided. We don't need to argue with people. We don't even need to argue with ourselves. God's word is right. I'm suspect, but God's word is right. You know? 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter 1. Where in the heck is Peter? I'm missing him. There he is. Chapter 1 of 2 Peter, verse 20. And these are verses that are all very foundational, but all are very important. Knowing this what? Last, first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private what? So it's not you interpret it or me interpret it. It has to interpret itself. For the prophecy of the Scripture, the prophecy came not in old time by the will of who? Yeah, some guy, you know, back in the Old Testament didn't say, how do you want to start Genesis? And one guy goes, I don't know. Dude, it was a bright day. That sounds cool, but I don't know if I like that. How about we're here all of a sudden? No. The prophecy came not in old time by the will of men. Men did not will this word of God. The prophecy came not in old time by the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. That's what it is. Holy men of God spake as God told them what to speak. And I remember many years ago when I first heard this, actually, thinking after I'd heard it for the first time, maybe it was the 10th time, but it was the first time I heard it, asking myself, now how could that happen? How could God talk to somebody? And you know what I thought of? Here I am asking, and I'm living in a place that has stars and space and air and, you know, trees and seas and flowers. If God could make all that, why couldn't he talk to somebody like you or me or those men and women that wrote the scriptures? That's pretty neat. 2 Peter 1, we're there, verse 3 and 4. "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life," all things that pertain unto life and godliness through a knowledge of him that's called us to glory and virtue. Man, that's pretty neat. All things that pertain unto life. Is that word zoe? Anyone know? Yes, zoe, which means life in all its fullness. That's a great verse, man. Life and godliness, how? Through the knowledge of him that's called us to glory and virtue. Well, God's called us to glory and virtue. You know, it's just fantastic. Okay, here's another one you know. 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all scripture is given by what? And is
for doctrine,
for instruction and righteousness. Why?
And of God.
You said it. All of it. All scriptures God breathed. All of it. That's a fantastic truth. And he covers it all there. doctrine, when we're believing rightly, reproof, when we're not believing rightly, and then what? Which gets us what? Back to right believing. Only God could do something like that, and he's given us a word. That's why it's so important to be in God's word more than any other material. It's fantastic. We're in the neighborhood. 1 Thessalonians 2. If you're hot, take your clothes off. It's all right with me. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. That means they thank God a lot. Paul took time to thank God a lot. Huh? Without ceasing. Thank you, Christina. Without ceasing. Never ceasing. You never cease to amaze me. Thank you. Without ceasing. Why? Because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that do what? God's word's true. Golly, and when we receive it as if it is the truth, it doesn't matter who speaks it. It could be Christina, it could be Storm and Norman, it could be Anthony, it could be anybody. It could even be me. And then it's not on me, it's on God. If God's word says it, then that's good enough for me. What's that song? That poem, sermons we see? I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. Anyway, it's a great song. A greater poem. But dang it. How do we receive God's word is really important. They didn't receive it as it was the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in those that believe. Psalm 119, we're going to read the whole chapter backwards. Psalm 119. Verse 162. Psalm 119. You can't say that about too many chapters, can you? Verse 162. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great what?
Spoil.
And that word spoil means riches, like booty. Not, well, that could be riches, I guess, but great riches. Great riches. David rejoiced in God's word as one that foundeth great riches. Jeremiah. Psalm, Isaiah, Jeremiah, just skipped a few. Chapter 15, all foundational verses. But I tell you what, I think too oftentimes people leave the foundations. They go on to bigger and better things, which I have a big quote around. Bigger and better. It's like a basketball player who can't make a layup. It's like a baseball team that can't bunt. Can you imagine? Well, they can't. It's like a pitcher that doesn't throw inside. Oh, I wish you'd have seen me in my heyday. If you hit me, I hit you. That's the way it worked. Anyway, all right. Jeremiah 15:16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. I've had great examples along the way like this of people who just joy and rejoice, who just can't wait to be in the Bible. As many of you know my wife Diane, and many of you don't, I'll give you a secret. She's sneaky. She knows all kinds of, I think she does it on purpose that she memorizes weird verses to catch me up. But the other day, it was like, well, Daniel 10:16. Was it 10:16, honey? Yeah, you know it was. And man, it was, yeah, she's sneaky. But she rejoices in God's word as one that findeth great spoil. It's the joy and rejoicing of her life. Man, oh man, I like being around people like that. It kind of rubs off, you know. Doesn't it? And Jeremiah, really, if you knew anything about him, he had a rough life. It wasn't like he missed the subway one day. You know what I'm saying? No. Well, that's funny. Jesus Christ talked about truth in John chapter 17, verse 17. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is what?
Truth.
Well, would Jesus know?
Yes.
Well, then, was he perfect?
Yes.
Well, he knew what was truth, and he said, God's word is truth. And I don't think anybody in here, for the most part, doesn't see that. You know, God's word says, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in what?
Truth.
That's good. Now go to Nehemiah. And I want to share this record here a little bit. Nehemiah. It's a little bit before Job. You'll get there. Nehemiah. And I want to start in chapter 4 and go through some of this just to see the appreciation that people had for having God's word. You know, sometimes I think we're real spoiled. I'm kind of glad we are, but I think we're spoiled. And sometimes I don't think we appreciate it enough that we have some of God's rightly divided word. I think that's something that we really need to appreciate. I mean, really need to appreciate. Nehemiah 4. But it came to pass that when Sanballat, never name your children Sanballat, by the way. It'd be a bad idea. You know what it means? Worker of evil. Anyway, it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews, made fun of the Jews. Boy, that hasn't stopped, has it? But this guy Sanballat, he was mad, and he took great indignation, and he mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Boy, he's saying, well, these guys can't do nothing. What are they going to do? Rebuild a wall? Those little Jews. Sorry, Alyssa. Hey, Sanballat said it. Yell at him. He was a worker of evil. Now, Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Boy, they didn't have very great expectation of what these Jewish believers could do. That build a wall that if a fox, you know, stood on it, it'd fall. Foxes really aren't that big. They're not. Here, and look at how Nehemiah responds. Boy, this is a lesson. You're getting mocked. You're getting made fun of. Saying your stupid idea is no good. You're just stupid. It won't work. Nehemiah prayed. He prayed. I still wonder sometimes, man, I couldn't do anything without prayer. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head. Give them for a prey in the land of captivity. Yeah. And cover not their iniquity. Let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. For they provoke thee. See, he had it right. He didn't take it personal. He took it really personal. And to him, personal was God. That's who they were attacking. They were attacking. If people attack you, who do you think they're getting to? They're just trying to get you riled up. Really, what they're after is God. The adversary is after God. Adversarial people, when they bother you and they stick their needle in you, It can't be about me. It's bigger. He saw it. He said, thee. They provoked thee to anger before the builders. So we didn't pay any attention, and we built the wall. And all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. So they're halfway done. For the people had a mind to be lazy.
No.
That's not uncommon. They had a mind to work. They were willing to put their, you know, their time in and their effort in. They had a mind to work. A mind to work. Like today, for instance. They said, anybody wants to come at 1 o'clock can show up and we can help this joint. There was over 115 people here today working. Nobody had them assigned and in these big lines, you know, here's what you're going to do, this and this. No. People just came because they wanted to come. People helped because they wanted to help. We got it done because we were happy about doing it. Fun. Son. Plus, it helped registration move along quickly. People had a mind to work. And it came to pass, Sanballat got the report. When Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites, look at all these dites, heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, they were very wroth. They were wroth before, now they're very wroth. And conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. So now they're not just saying, hey, nanny, nanny, you got a big fanny. They're coming to fight now. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night. What did they do? They prayed first. Then they set a watch. They weren't stupid either. They set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed and there is much rubbish, so that we are all not able to build the wall. There'll always be people, when you make a godly decision based upon the integrity of the word or God and Christ working in you, there'll always be somebody there to tell you why you can't do it, to tell you why it's wrong, to tell you that you can't do it, to tell you why it's wrong. Happen here yet? Okay. Don't let them do it. And our adversary said, they aren't going to know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and kill them all. And that'll cause the work to cease. Look at these threats. These aren't idle threats. They're there to kill them. They want to kill them. What would you do if you knew something was the will of God and someone threatened your life? What would you do? Would you lay down and let them kill you? Or would you flex your muscle? Or would you go to God? All right. Came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt with them came, they said unto us 10 times from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Man, oh man. Many times when God's word is set right in our midst, in our hearts, the adversary tries to take a poke at you. He tries to nail you. He tries to give the screws to you. Tries to say you can't do what God says you can do. Says you can't get delivered where God says you can get delivered. Say to be fearful when you know there is no fear in what?
Love.
Man, take a stand. God always wins when the hearts and lives and minds of people believe him, trust him, to back up what he says. That's why we got to be in God's word more than other materials. Verse 13. Yeah. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall and on the higher places. I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. Why do you think they set them before their families? You think you'd fight for your family? I've seen more fights in my life, talking about someone's brother or mother or sister, no one ever getting a fight over that. I don't even like my brother, and I knocked a guy out once. I can't stand him. You don't talk about him. I mean, he's all right now, I guess. He set him with their families. I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye what? Remember the Lord. That's one great way to beat fear. Remember God. Remember God. Everybody gets shook once in a while, but remember God. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren. Boy, there it is. And I know this is Old Testament. I know this is in the Old Testament. I know it's a different administration. I got that, all right? Has that truth changed?
No.
Not in my heart. Not in my heart. You fight for God's people. Even if they're not nice to you, fight for them. You fight for God's people. You might not agree with them, but you don't let anybody mess with them, ever. Don't you ever. And you guys are pretty dang good examples of that. But they fought. You know, I fought. I don't like to fight anymore. I don't like to fight any less. Sorry. All right. Fight for your brethren and for your sons. Would you fight for your son? Fight for your daughters? Fight for your wives? Too many times you fight with your wives. Fight for your wife, and you might not have a fight with your wife for a while. It's a key. And make sure she really knows how you fought for her. You know what I told them? Never to say anything bad about you again. Oh, gosh. Anyway, yeah, that's great. All right. Fight for your wives and for your hoes. Houses. Houses. Wow. What they did here is they prepared. They prepared. They prayed. That was what they first did. But then they used their bean. You know, if a guy comes at me with a bazooka, oh, yeah, I don't know what. What am I going to do with a bazooka? I don't know, but I'd figure it out. God would let me know. Either run like hell or do something. See, God never leaves us hanging. Gosh, the manifestations tonight were just precious. They always are. They prepared, okay? Verse 19. And I said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet? And the trumpet player was right next to Nehemiah, the man of God, it says up in verse something. Resort ye thither unto us, our God shall fight for us. That didn't mean that they didn't prepare. They prepared. They worked hard. They prepared. And still knowing all the time that God would be the one that would fight for them. Would he do any less for his kids like you with Christ in you, the hope of glory? No matter how much you know, how little you know, how bad you've been, how good you've been. I hate Santa Claus. As many of you know, I can't stand him. He's a counterfeit. Did you know there is no Santa Claus?
Yes.
You didn't, Wesley? Well, he's a, you know, be good for goodness sake. What kind of crap is that? Thank God God isn't like that. Where does he say to be good for good? You better watch out. He's a dick. I used to have dreams about Santa Claus. Our God shall fight for us. Santa Claus don't. You bad, you get coal. Oh, hell, who wants coal? Do you want coal? All right, well, good. Go to chapter 4, verse 21. We labored in the work. Half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in that night, in the night, they may be a guard to us and labor in the day. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that everyone put them off for washing. Well, they wore the same clothes. And I'll bet you it wasn't some stupid fashion of today. Bet you they had some real clothes that lasted more than a week. Well, good. They worked pretty hard. They sure did. Yeah. Go to chapter 6. Oh, no, chapter 5. I just got to read a little here. I got to do this because, again, it shows the frailty of people, even knowing the will of God. And there was a great cry of the people and of their wives. Their wives. Who could think of that? And, look, I didn't write it, There is a great cry of all the people and their wives against the brethren of the Jews. And there were that said, we're our sons, our daughters are many. Therefore, we take up corn. What, Dean?
Corn.
There you go. For them, that we may eat and live. Some also were there that said, we have mortgaged our lands. Look at boy. All trying to talk themselves out of the word. We've done this. We've done that. We've done this. We've done that. To complaints, boy, they're endless. God's word is timeless. God's word is always true. God will always get the glory in the genuine operation of the word of God. Look at verse 15 and 16 of chapter 6. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month of Elul, in 52 days. Earlier, Sanballat said, if a fox stood on it, it'd fall. Oh, these feeble Jews, they can't do that. But they knew what they were doing. They knew why they were doing it. And they knew who they were doing it for. And they got the job done in 52 days. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes. For they perceived that this work was wrought of who? Our God. Holy mackerel, when you do a work of God, God will get the glory. Don't worry about getting glory. Don't worry about getting credit. Don't worry about it. What do you care who sings the song? Don't you want the song to get sung? I mean, honestly. Now go to chapter 8. And here's where they got God's word back, and they hadn't had it since the time of Joshua, the son of a nun. Son of Nun. Noon. Chapter 8, Nehemiah 8. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man. Sounds like you guys. Right here. Gathering ourselves together like we're one person. Into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law, which is the word of God, before the congregation, both men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein, before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning till midday, before the men and the women, and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. They were attentive. That's how we ought to be when we hear God's word or when we read God's word. We ought to pay attention to what we're reading. It's really neat. Verse 4. And Ezra the scribe stood on a pulpit of wood. He was, standing up on a pulpit. Ezra, verse 5, opened the book in the sight of all the people. He was above all the people because he was standing on a pulpit. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. They stood up because of the respect of the word. I got it? They didn't stand up because it was Ezra. They stood up because God's word was being read. Fantastic. Great respect. Look at verse 7. Well, all those guys, Joshua, Bani, and all those people, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. What good is it if we don't understand it? What good is God's word is it if you don't understand it? What good is it if you know Aramaic, Greek, Hebrew, backwards and forwards and have it just perfect, but you don't understand it? You don't live it? You just say it. That's a dead word. Sorry. Could even be rightly divided with the stamp of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph on it. No dice. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, long-suffering, and all that stuff. When they see you, when they see us, people should see the embodiment of love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, long-suffering, temperance, all that stuff. And that would be because you believe who you are, which somebody will get to tomorrow, I suppose. What good is if you know the whole Bible and don't believe one verse of it? Just makes you look like you're smart. Good God, let somebody else be smart. I want to be a believer. I am a believer. I don't want to be. I am. What good is it if you don't understand? Look at verse 10. Oh, verse 9. Nehemiah, which was the Tishatha, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people. It wasn't just a one-man show. Other people shared God's word besides the big guys, quote, end of quote. And that taught the people, said unto the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. When they heard God's word, which they hadn't heard in a long time, they were sure appreciative. They were sure thankful, so thankful that they even cried. Look at verse 10. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send the portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Don't be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. They were happy. You say, man, this is great. We've got God's word back. Let's enjoy it. No, that's what they did. The joy of the Lord was their strength. That's what our strength is. Look at verse 12. Verse 11, he said, don't be grieved. Verse 12, and all the people went their way to eat, to drink, to send the portions, and make great mirth because they'd understood the words that were declared unto them. They heard God's word. They understood it. They were appreciative. They were blessed. They cried with tears of joy. And then they partied. This weekend is a time for all that. It's a time of rejoicing to be in God's word. It's a time, sometimes tearful time, because we're so happy. But it's a time of great mirth, great fellowship, great fun. Enjoy each other, man. Just do whatever you like and like whatever you do. Live it up. You know why? Because you're God's masterpieces. Ephesians says that in chapter 2, verse 10. You're his masterpiece. You're complete. Nothing missing. I know we might have a zit here and there, and maybe we're a little heavy or we're a little light or whatever, but we're complete. Nothing missing. We're God's children, and he loves us. If everybody in the whole wide world didn't, he does. That's why it's so important to build the truth of God's word in our lives, to place the word in the esteem that it deserves, above us, above worldly fashion, above other things. So when we study God's word, we study it knowing that it's God's word and that it's truth, and that we look at God's word more than we do other stuff, because when we do that, our life will not be out of balance. Our life will be in balance. Look at verse 17. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, unto that day had not the children of Israel done so. And there was very great gladness. There's always great gladness when those who were captivated were made free. Jesus Christ led captivity what? The truth is what makes us free, it says in John. Jesus Christ led captivity captive. By studying God's word more than other materials, we build our minds and we build our hearts to God. And that helps us manifest a victorious life. Father, thank you so much for your love, your goodness, and your grace. Thank you for the privilege it is to be here together with so many wonderful people in your word and alignment and harmony with you, God. We pray for our healthy bodies, our sound minds, and our happy hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Bless you. Peace. Amen. See you at breakfast.